Good morning, David. I appreciate you taking the time to have a chat to us. It's an important time as far as Tabcorp is concerned and the Victorian racing industry. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. No, very well. And obviously, before we start, I'd just like to express our sympathy to Donna's family, friends and the racing community. Obviously, a tragic accident yesterday. And I think the whole community is feeling the pain. But obviously, we're good. So fire away with your question.
Absolutely. And we will discuss that in depth, in a few moments. But first of all, on the merger between Tabcorp and TATS, we know that Racing Victoria, was against this, your joint venture partner. I suppose the first question, David, is how is the relationship with Racing Victoria, considering you are joint venture partners and they were against this proposed merger, which has got the green light?
So they did oppose the merger, and that's a matter, obviously, for them. The rest of the racing industry across Australia, the Jockeys and Trainers Associations, all supported it. And we were delighted with the outcome. The relationship with Racing Victoria continues to be strong. So despite disagreements, and we all partners have them now and again, the relationship is professional. We meet regularly. We review matters. We make decisions together. And it's really important that we continue to work constructively together, and we do.
The main issue for Racing Victoria was the new licence, which comes up in 12 years, and the concern that if there is no other major competitor for Tabcorp, that the new licence fee would not be as high as what it could be with the lack of competition. From Tabcorp's point of view, what's your thought behind that reasoning? And would you, in fact, agree to increase the current partnership or the licence agreement to try and allay those fears of Racing Victoria?
So the first thing is that the tribunal process comprehensively reviewed all of the submissions, including the submissions from Racing Victoria on the licence, and exhaustively cross-examined various witnesses on it. And certainly it was not found to be an issue from that point of view. In fact, very much the government of Victoria is in control of how they shape the licence at that time. From our point of view, we have made clear we are very happy to look at extending the licence and look at working with Victoria Racing and the Victorian government to do that. And we've sort of written to the government on that matter.
Okay, so there could be some progress in the near future with you rolling over current conditions or conditions that are alike that would not have Victorian Racing have any detrimental effect re-subsidisation for you to continue your agreement.
Well, in fact, I think we've made it clear and we've had discussions with Victorian Racing that it doesn't stop both sides looking at the conditions and trying to improve them for the longer-term future for all sides. So finding ways to make sure that the licence is supporting all parties the right way as the shape of the landscape changes.
David, for the punter, the man in the street who has a bet, how will this merger affect them? Are we any closer to a national tote pool now?
I believe we are. The most obvious or noticeable changes will be in the UBET states, where we'll roll out a number of the products that they don't have, such as the quaddie cash out and check and collect, and the point of sale equipment, our very popular self-service equipment. And we'll also extend the TAB brand in those states, so the UBET brand will fall away. So it'll be most obvious in those states. It does create a pathway to a national pool, tote pool, and that means better depth and less volatility. But it does, you know, there are a range of approvals and support required from the racing industry across the states to achieve that. And it's certainly an aim of ours to get there.
So you want to get a national tote pool. Would you have any timeline on that?
I think that every time we put a timeline, it becomes it's difficult to actually at this stage do that. We need to sit down with all the parties post-merger, work out where the concerns are with each state, and then deal with those concerns. But I think there's a strong will from a lot of the racing jurisdictions to support this. I think they all recognise that a strong national tote is in the interests of the racing industry and in the interests of sustainable funding of the racing industry.
There's been concern from some punter groups that a merged entity that is so big as what the new Tabcorp will be with TATS means that maybe you could increase takeout levels. And we did see in the competition hearing there was talk of maybe an Uber-type surge. Project Alfred, I think it was referred to, that maybe on Saturdays and Spring Carnival days, there could be an increase in the percentage takeout, and on lower days, midweek days, that would become lessened. Is that something that Tabcorp's looking at?
So first thing is, and I think you recognise it, it's a very, very competitive market, and we're not going to do anything that's going to make us less competitive. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, we don't move takeout rates without the racing industry's approval. So this Project Alfred that's been referred to and was discussed at length at the tribunal was a project to do a trial that was all about creating or trying to create some flexibility in the takeout rate, which, by the way, with the tote derivative offers and the best tote offers from the corporates, they have flexibility on our takeout rate because they can stretch the dividend as much or as little as they like through their offers, and we have no flexibility. It was about creating flexibility so we could lower it at times and increase it and use the money and plow it back into promotions and essentially create a little bit more uncertainty as well for the corporates with their tote derivative betting. It was all about giving us flexibility, but always with the ongoing approval of racing and oversight of racing. And I can assure you that both ourselves and the racing industry, there is no way we don't want to remain very, very competitive.
So have the racing jurisdictions, Racing Victoria, given you the green light to do that? And is this something that will come in?
I think right now we have put the whole thing on ice because a lot of concern was raised around it, and we're not rushing at anything in a hurry on this stuff because we do not want to do anything that people perceive as negative.
Okay. One of the major aspects that was seen to be a positive of this merger is $50 million will now flow into the racing industry because of better cost savings from the merged entity. How does Racing Victoria gain any of that funds? How much will Racing Victoria get, and how much of an improvement will that make for racing in this state?
So we haven't, I'm not planning to break out that. It's a $50 million annually is the projections from the synergies that will flow to racing across the country. Particularly a large proportion of our synergies, and they've been broken down in the documentation we put to the market, are cost synergies. And the way Racing Victoria benefit is we have a 50-50 joint venture. So they get 50% of the profits over and above all the revenue fees paid. So they get about 9.5 cents in every dollar bet. And essentially, the way that works is cost synergies, as we make ourselves more efficient in running, flow through to the Victorian racing industry. And they get a good share of that $50 million, but we're not actually breaking that out right now, although the Victorian racing industry do have the numbers behind the scenes.
And when will the merger take place? I know it's got to be ratified by the shareholders, but I suppose that will be a fait accompli. So when are we likely to see the merged entity?
So we're going through the regulatory approval processes in each state now, post the tribunal approval. There's a scheme book that will need to go out to TAT shareholders for voting on. And we expect all of those processes and the vote to sort of be complete around the end of August, beginning of September.
Is the next target now WA? So every single tab is under the one umbrella?
Well, WA has not yet. There's been no real decision as to whether it's going to be sold or not. I think that currently continues to be under review. Obviously, if it was put up for sale, we'd be interested in it because it would create that national tote, the national tab. But also, we work very closely with WA anyway. And as you're aware, they're strong pooling partners into the SuperTab pool.
We've seen a continual decline, and you would know it better than anyone, David, in the paramutual, which is what funds racing the most. What can TAB do to try and slow that decrease and maybe try to build it up again in regards to so that the racing industry has that flow of income, which is consistent?
So, Michael, first of all, funding from paramutual or fixed odds through the JV in Victoria is substantially higher than through a corporate. So to give you a feel for that, the paramutual betting drives about 9.6 cents in every dollar bet, and fixed odds would return about 7.5 cents in every dollar bet to the racing industry, compared to about 2.8 cents from a corporate, and only if the corporate is betting on Victorian racing, there'd be zero if the betting is on interstate racing through a corporate. So the first thing is the difference is between 9.6 cents and 7.5 cents when there's a shift from paramutual to fixed odds. Ultimately, the customer decides what they want to bet on, and we try and make the products overall as compelling as possible in the competitive environment. And one of the things that would be looked at if a license was extended and working with the Victorian industry and government is how you would make it where that difference was not there, where both their racing would earn the equivalent from either product. Mm. And that would be obviously an ideal end game so that you that racing didn't really deem either to be different. And we're looking at really just trying to keep competing and offering as compelling a set of products as possible to the customer.
Well, you mentioned those new products. Have you got anything that you're looking to unveil? Have you got new products in the pipeline for punters?
We have got something coming, but I would be absolutely...
you can reveal it now.
...in trouble if I unveiled it today. it's coming before the spring racing carnival. There's some work that will bring it to market shortly.
Can you give us a hint?
No.
another area I wanted to touch base on, and I'm hoping you can give us some clarity about this. It's to do with Sky, which is TAB's, obviously, their media arm. The clock. There's a lot of talk about how the racing clock works and Sky controls it. For us in Victoria, Racing.com, who also oppose this merger, there's concern about the clock and the power of Sky and how race meetings are actually put on the platform. Can you explain how that's done?
So the clock is actually controlled by every racing jurisdiction. Sky sits at the centre trying to juggle all the different requirements of those racing jurisdictions. And certainly, ideally, all the racing jurisdictions work together, and that makes life easy. When you get 30-minute gaps and other jurisdictions are doing 40-minute gaps, you get sort of the clashes that cause the problems. We are working closely as different jurisdictions require changes or request changes, and I think generally it's working quite well. We are seeing and have seen some issues, as I state, around the 30-minute gap. We're obviously trying to continue to work through as issues arise.
You oppose the 30-minute gap, don't you, that the Race of Victoria trialled?
It's not so much oppose. I just want the racing industry as a whole to agree and work to a consistent sort of model, because it's in the interest of the customer that there are as few race clashes as possible. And if you can imagine, if you've got two very important meetings operating at different gaps between their races, you are going to get clashes. You ideally, it's not whether it's 30, 35 or 40. Ideally, it's consistent. It's consistency.
So
I'm
do you think
opposed to any particular gap?
Do you think we'll have more clarity and there will be more, I suppose, willingness of Sky and Racing.com to work together in the future? I know we had the CEO of Racing.com, Andrew Cattle, in yesterday, and he was talking about that they would love to show certain events like Ascot on their coverage, yet Sky has a block, which means that they can't show Royal Ascot on the pay-to-air channel that they have.
Yes, so let's just briefly touch on that. I mean, Racing.com was set up as a showcase channel for Victorian racing, and I think it's sort of morphing away from that more and more, and we've seen that they actually want to move it more towards a broad-based thoroughbred channel. I think that came through. From my point of view, stepping back, this is about the sustainable funding of the racing industry and understanding how media can best support that. And at the moment, we have our differences with racing.com on the way that they're supporting the sustainable funding of racing. And that gets back to the 9.5 cents and the 7.5 cents in every dollar bet that the JV in Victoria delivers to racing. That's worth over $300 million a year to racing in Victoria. And the fact that if it goes through a corporate, they only receive money if it's on Victorian racing, and it's about 2.8 cents. And it just makes little, you know, I struggle to understand the heavy promotion of a model that undermines the actual funding of racing.
David,
yeah.
I was going to say just a couple of quick ones before I let you go. The perennial question of punters and the frustration of punters is the sub rule. What can be done, if anything, about the sub in races? We saw it happen at Flemington just last weekend with a favourite getting scratched and punters getting put on a horse that they didn't want to be put on.
Look, there's no perfect method for dealing with late scratchings, and it's the same all over the world. And certainly we've looked at it again and again. And at the moment, we certainly don't have plans to change it. And we know other jurisdictions around the world struggle with exactly the same thing. And when you're running an operation, a parimutuel operation,
The future of Luxbet, is there any question mark over it? With its $13 million loss this financial year?
Well, we've said it's undergoing a strategic review to the market, and obviously, if we're operating the tab in all bar Western Australia, It certainly becomes a big question mark as to whether Luxbet is a fit to the business.
And finally, you own a slot in the Everest. What horse is it going to be?
There is a lot of work going on, and there is some news there. But again, we're not ready to release that news.
Do you get final say?
I am actually not the one that's going to make the final call on this. There are far better qualified people in this company to be making that call.
Well, David, hopefully we can make this a regular, because I know a lot of the punters out there love to have access to yourself and have me be able to pose some questions from a punter's perspective. So it's great to have you on today. And as I said, hopefully we can have a chat to you soon, and I'd love you to come back and break the new products in the Everest horse on the show. Anytime, you're welcome.
Well, I'll definitely take you up on that, and I know Nick will stay close, Michael, and sort that out.
Thanks very much, David.
Thanks, Michael.